Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, and I want to welcome you to the Connected Insurance Podcast presented by Agency Revolution, creators of Fuse. Fuse is insurance marketing software, and it multiplies you. It allows you to communicate in an intimate and meaningful and, in many ways, delightful way with your customers and with your marketplace. It skyrockets retention, boosts policy per customer, and makes your clients love your agency. Without you having to hire do the things that you don't want to do, hire more people to do it, hire technologists to do it, hire programmers to do it, Fuse will do it for you automatically. If you haven't done this lately, take a moment, visit agencyrevolution.com. And while you're at it, request a demo. It's award-winning software, and you're about to find out why. And once again, I want to welcome you to this episode. This is a really interesting conversation because I think you're going to get a glimpse into the very fast-changing world of insurance and the future of insurance. I'm talking to the director of insurance for an independent insurance agency. I don't know what else to call it. They're also an insurtech. But when it comes right down to it, they are an agency. And I think you will discover, though you may say, gosh, my agency's really different than that one. Yes, I'm sure that it is. But there are lessons and secrets in this conversation that I think are profound and poignant and that everybody has to pay attention to. Darcy Shapiro is the director of insurance for the Americas, for CoverGenius. And InsurTech that, and this is worth listening to, is in positive cash flow with offices in New York, London, Sydney. And they are changing the way certain key insurance products are delivered. And I think when you will listen to this, you will go, oh, yes, that totally makes sense strategically. And strategy is one of the things that we cover in this conversation. So one last time, or perhaps not, as a quick reminder, next time you're on your computer, if you would be kind enough to connect with me on LinkedIn, follow me on Instagram, and let's leave it at that for now, but just think of it next time you sit in front of the keyboard and say, ah, what should I do now? I should connect with Michael. Would mean a lot to me, and hopefully you'll get some real value out of it. That said, it's a pleasure to introduce you to the Director of Insurance for CoverGenius, Darcy Shapiro. Darcy Shapiro, thanks so much for joining us again. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Michael.
Well, I'm excited about this, in part because I do know a thing or two about the company that you're associated with. And you and I have spent a little bit of time talking before, and I'm fascinated about what you're doing. So, boom, if we could first maybe share a little bit about you. And you, and I think it's really interesting because you have a real solid insurance career, not to mention a pretty solid legal career. And now you are providing some leadership in InsurTech. So first, let's talk a little bit about how you got to be where you are now.
Yeah, sure. So as you mentioned, I am trained as a lawyer. Uh-huh. I started my career off in private practice, working on some insurance defense work, really, which was kind of my first taste of the insurance industry. Did that for a couple years, also working on some HIPAA privacy stuff, and had an opportunity to go over to AIG a couple years in and work on claims and litigation management over there. So that was really the transition I made, in-house, if you will, and really, you know, when my insurance big carrier experience started in earnest.
Mm-hmm.
So I've actually worked for, you know, a number of large carriers, doing a number of things there. I was at AIG for about 5 years, and also spent some time at a subsidiary of Liberty Mutual.
Right.
And my most recent stint was at The Hartford, where I was doing product development and portfolio management over there. So, you know, as you mentioned, my insurance career has really spanned, you know, multiple facets of the industry, from, you know, product development, portfolio management, underwriting, claims, and even legal defense work. So
right.
It's been quite a ride.
Yeah, so you do know this industry, and presumably that probably was an important criteria for you to be director of insurance for Cover Genius.
So, I have to assume so.
Yeah, okay. So let's now talk about what the company is doing. So as I recall, Cover Genius, I think, was started by people who are not insurance career professionals.
Correct.
Okay, but there is an interesting story about their experience. So how did it get started?
Yeah, so Cover Genius, which is the company that I now have been with for over a year now, was started in Australia, in Sydney, about 5 years ago by our two founders, had actually started an online travel agency.
Right.
And what they were looking to do was to be able to offer travel insurance products, you know, connected to the underlying travel products that they were selling.
Right. And that's while they had the travel agency, they wanted to add insurance products to it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So, in other words, if somebody's online, they're booking a trip, and then they have an offer, you know, do you want travel insurance? Am I getting that sequence right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And, you know, as they were trying to source travel insurance products to match their market, you know, which spanned customers, you know, in different global locations, they found the challenge was that every different region that they were selling in had different regulations and different products, and it was becoming a full-time job for them to try to figure out how they could do this.
Oh, so they discovered that the insurance industry wasn't quite as easy to work with as they had hoped.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Especially on a global scale. You know, I'm sure you know, even with the large global insurers, a lot of times they're not even within country-specific, not even talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a challenge for them. And they sort of figured that if they were running into this challenge, there are probably a lot of global players out there that are also running into this challenge that could have insurance products as part of their offering.
Right.
But would have to go out and source everything, you know, country by country and make sure they were, you know, operating through legally compliant with local regulations kind of operations.
Mm-hmm.
And so their focus shifted and Cover Genius was born. You know, on the back of their experience within the travel industry, they sort of started out with travel as the primary test case for their proposition.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a partnership through industry contacts, developed a partnership with a booking.com brand, their rental cars platform.
Right.
And basically went and developed a rental car insurance product to be sold at the point of sale through this online platform.
Uh-huh.
And quickly had to basically run around the world getting operations and product up in place to match their partner's global footprint. And, you know, it was successful. The company became profit positive within 2 to 3 years of
mm-hmm.
the rollout,
mm-hmm.
Operating on its own revenue, which is really cool. And proved out the use case for, you know, a company like ours that can offer these global solutions to, you know, large global partners.
Okay. So, as I understand it, they dropped the travel agency, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
They realized that there was a big opportunity in providing the insurance solution. So really, everything became the insurance part of the business, right?
Exactly. And, I mean, I think they quickly realized that the world does not need another travel agency, but they had identified a problem and were able to solve it.
They solved that problem before, like, their big partners were solving it, because one would assume that, let's say, you know, there are other the partners that you have now, let's say the travel agencies or what have you, that they were they actively attempting to solve that problem, or was this?
So I think in some cases they were. In other cases, the insurance industry is a really complex beast, even
right.
within just one market.
Okay.
I don't need to explain to your audience how complicated insurance is in the U.S.
Right.
with 50-plus different regulators. I think that a lot of our partners it's something that they didn't even want to touch because it's just too complex of a problem to solve.
Got it. Okay, so the experts are now solving the problem for the partners.
Right.
Okay. I have one other related question. So the business model for CoverGenius is sales through partnerships, not direct to consumer?
Correct.
Okay.
We do have our brand Rental Cover is, you know, basically the platform that was created for this rental car insurances.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do have a customer-facing brand, but most of our sales and our real, value proposition is finding the right partners that we can distribute insurance through at the point of sale. In terms of how people shop for insurance, it's not something that when I'm just sitting at home, you know, watching Netflix and eating popcorn, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go online and buy some insurance. we find that when you offer it in conjunction with a product that people are actually do sit on their couch and shop for, that, you know, leads to much better conversion rates. And it's really that sort of engaged customer that's already online doing some
right.
sort of transaction that this provides extra value for, that is the kind of customer we like to target.
Well, you are getting the customer, in some instances, let's say during the course of a 365-day year, right? You are getting them in the rare moment where they are open and susceptible to an appropriate insurance purchase.
Exactly.
Right. So they're shopping. In as an example, they just booked a trip to Norway, and then you guys pop into the sequence and say, "Do you want to insure that trip?" Something along those lines, right?
Exactly. In terms of value proposition that we're offering to our partners too, we find that when you offer a product like that at the point of sale, it actually leads to even better conversion rates on the underlying product. So if somebody is wanting to book that trip to Norway, but they're thinking, my mom's been sick, or should we actually go ahead and do it? I can insure this. It actually leads to better conversion of the underlying product.
Everybody. Everybody wins in that case, right?
That's the idea.
Okay. So the story in itself is fascinating, in as much as I work with a lot of insurtechs and ran one myself, to know that, this is a company that got profitable within 2 or 3 years. It has been bootstrapped. So there presumably was some founder money, but no external money as I understand it.
We did have an initial seed funding round.
Okay.
Fairly modest amounts.
Uh-huh.
And when I say we became profit positive, our head count now is over 100 people globally.
Uh-huh.
So it's pretty impressive growth. We keep we keep everything's moving very fast here. That's how I would say,
okay.
Which is definitely different from my old life at the insurance carrier.
Okay. Things do tend to move fast. I mean, I think the last time you and I spoke was maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, and I suspect that a lot has happened since then.
Absolutely.
So I've got a question for you, and it's maybe just a little bit off topic, but to me it's one of the most important questions. So we've got a company here that is beating the odds. I mean, most tech companies fail, and it appears that this one is clearly succeeding and is profit positive in a really relatively short period of time with a now growing global footprint. I suppose, you know, what I'm looking for is beyond the cliches and the, you know, the sort of the platitudinous answers we could give, like, we got great people. Why do you think, what do you think are the factors that have led to its success?
That's a great question. And I will avoid saying we have great people.
I have a guess, but I'm curious, you know, I could be a mile off, but what do you think it is?
Yeah. So I think, you know, to the point of the founder's story, a problem was actually identified. And a way to solve that problem was posited here. I think a lot of tech companies fall into the trap of, we have a great idea, but they're not exactly sure what problem they're solving. Tech companies that have sort of put the cart before the horse, if you will, where they've invested a lot of money putting out a product that we're not, you know.
Right, yeah.
Whether there was really a need for the product is questionable. And then once they've invested all this money in time and, you know, human capital and actual capital towards putting out that product and nobody wants it, you know, you run into problems, right?
Okay. So your company identified a real problem and delivered a real solution.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, and I think it's as simple as that, honestly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's really related to the solution or the answer that I had, which I think is strategy. I think you've got a terrific strategy, in that, you are, you know, like one of the questions strategy has to answer is, where do you want to play? Well, you're playing right in front of people who are, most susceptible to an appropriate buying decision for insurance, right? I mean, you are right there, which is the ideal place to be. And from a marketing perspective, getting customers is always the most expensive part of the proposition. And to some extent, I think you guys have really cracked the code on that. So it's a terrific
strategy.
Yeah,
and you're right
strategy.
About that. I will add, sort of our timing of our company was fortuitous too, right?
Timing is everything. Yeah, right. So,
yeah.
Okay.
So we're operating in a world that's increasingly digital. So, you know, 10 years ago, could this have been as successful of a proposition? You know, I don't know, but certainly the type of digital environment and, you know, I mean, it must be cliche, but millennials conduct their lives online.
Right.
Includes all of their shopping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to plug into that sort of environment at that right opportune time has also enabled us to succeed.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Timing, arguably, I think in the tech world, but maybe all business, is perhaps the single most important factor for success or failure. So I have one other related question. When you went to market, presumably you were able, and I know that this precedes you, but the story probably still lives. I presume you were able to get to market with a minimal viable product that allowed you to test its traction
without
a lot of expense. Okay. Right.
How
did you do that? Are you aware of that part of the story? Like how they got first into the marketplace?
Well, so just by way of example, I'll use the U.S. as an example. As jurisdictions go, it's extremely complicated because, you know, there are 50 regulators, 50 states to get through.
Yeah, there is a lot of innovation in Europe and Asia right now in insurance and insurtech. Maybe that's why. Okay.
And innovation is really difficult in the U.S. you know, for those obvious reasons.
Yeah.
So for us, in terms of strategy to get, it's also, by the way, a very challenging, you know, legal environment where, you know, Americans, we tend to sue.
Happy
we sue, which you don't have that sort of, you know, level of litigiousness in other regions.
No, that is interesting, because I think to some extent the country has a reputation for being innovative and supportive of entrepreneurs, and certainly we've seen a lot come out of places like Silicon Valley. But you're right, there are some serious barriers to maybe especially insure technology.
Yeah, and some states are getting on board with, you know, sandboxes and are trying to be more accommodating.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so you're seeing commissioners respond to the changing environment.
Exactly. And I think that there's, I mean, even in my, you know, my background from the insurance carrier world was in cyber tech media. So in terms of within the insurance carrier, it's sort of the innovative portion of, you know, the kinds of coverages, because it's so new.
Mm-hmm.
Insurers love data. There's not a lot of data in terms of, you know, cyber, because it's
right.
such a new threat. You know, you don't get your 50 years of auto data that they love to rely on.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I had been accustomed to that sort of innovation in-house, innovation, if you will, but it was like moving a boulder up a hill. I have noticed, even in the last, let's say, 3 years, a recognition within the carriers that if they don't catch up, and this extends to the regulators as well, some of them, I should say, some of the commissioners, that if they don't catch up with the way technologies are moving, they're going to get left behind. You know,
right. More and more are investing in their own insure techs or insure tech startups,
exactly.
or supporting
yeah.
the incubators around the country.
They a lot of these insurers have, you know, strategic innovation groups now that are coming and seeking us out to figure out how they can partner with us.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Got it. A number of the guests that I've had on the podcast series are from the research and the big advisories.
Yeah.
They're all pretty much singing out of the same choir book.
Yeah. Now,
for their carrier
think,
clients, yeah, that they have to innovate, that they have to go digital.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And you know, there's a push towards that, but it's still not dissimilar to my experience within the carrier. There's still a bit of pushing the boulder up the hill, but it's more of a recognition that, you know, we're going to get flattened by the boulder if we don't get it over the hump. So, yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting time.
Well, and on the other hand, Darcy, I think we're seeing more of the tech side of insure tech partner with existing organizations in the industry, as opposed to try to sort of come in with a cape and disrupt the whole thing as if they, you know,
Well, I mean, look, given the regulatory environment that we have to,
right.
You know, we need to find the right partners that are willing to innovate with us and are willing to come on that journey towards digitization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I worked for 3 really large carriers.
Right.
And I can tell you that when it comes to technology, they're understaffed. They're short on resources. It's not always the priority internally.
Uh-huh.
And so they need to find the right partners to be able to deliver those technology solutions that will enable them to compete in this new market.
Yeah. All right. I have a couple of questions for you.
Yeah.
Well, the first one is about where do you see CoverGenius going? What does the future look like?
So, as I said, we sort of started out this test use case proposition within travel and rental cars specifically. But in the last couple of years, we invested a lot of money into creating a platform. Our platform's called XCover. And what's really cool about it is that it's product agnostic. So pretty much, you know, through a single integration point with one of our partners, we can deliver any type of insurance policy through that single integration point anywhere in the world that will be compliant and can cross over different product lines. And what I think is cool about that is that it will enable us to think of different ways to ensure what people are doing. So, you know, you have, I'm trying to think of a good example, maybe like a large retailer.
Right. Yeah.
And so they may, you know, traditionally their offerings, and I know this is not insurance, but there could be insurance components of this, might be around warranty products or extended service contracts, right?
Right. We see that. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. But if we can then also deliver some more traditional insurance products to their customers when it makes sense, like let's say travel insurance if they're buying luggage, or pet insurance if they're buying pet products, you know, it really enables us to, again, be that one point where we can connect them to all of these products that will benefit their customers, benefit our insurance partners by creating this distribution channel that they don't have access to right now. And to your point before, meeting people where they're shopping already for things they need, for things they want, and offering valuable products that they may not have thought about before, but will provide value to them.
So the business model and the strategy remains the same.
Yes.
Got it. You look for partners who are, one, online, right? And they have a customer stream that, you know, because of whatever it is, whatever purchasing process they're engaged in, that they may be susceptible to an insurance purchase, whatever it is.
Exactly.
And like, yes, you could go from pets, did you say?
Yep.
Pets to a trip to Maui.
Exactly. And, when I say it remains the same, it remains the same, but understanding that insurance can really provide value to our partners' customers.
Right.
So you use the word susceptible, which sounds a little nefarious to me. We're not trying to trick people into buying.
Yeah, no, I was mentally hunting for a different word, but you know there is some truth to it. But
absolutely. So,
well, the other word that came to mind was vulnerable, and I just maybe didn't want to throw that.
I don't know if that's any better.
Okay.
But that's the point, right? Is that we want to provide something of value to our partners' customers.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're stewards of our partner's brand as well.
Right.
You know,
yes.
We are the insurance intermediary, but they're giving us access to their customers. Their, you know, most prized possessions, really.
It has to be a lot of trust.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we don't want to, you know, trick people into buying something. We want to offer value, and we think we can do it across. There's just an innumerable amount of ways that in this digitally connected world that we can provide insurance solutions that are valuable to people.
Okay.
Without them having to go and hunt it down themselves.
Right, which they often won't do.
Exactly.
And then proceed unprotected. Okay, here's my other question. You come from the independent agency system, right?
Yes.
That, AIG, one of the Liberty companies, Hartford. Am I hitting the right? Okay, checking off the right boxes there.
I know where you're going with this question.
Okay, well, so there you go.
I'm
not questioning your loyalty to my listeners, but your perspective is what I'm looking for. Given the breadth of your perspective on the industry, and that, you know, you're with an insurtech now who's really direct to consumer through partnerships. What do you think the future looks like for the independent insurance agency system?
Yeah. So I don't need to tell you or your listeners probably that this is one that gets debated a lot, you know, what the role of insurance agents are going to be moving forward. I'm not sure that my perspective will be a welcome answer to some of your listeners that have agencies. I think that as things move online, I mean, you see a lot of big players, let's say in personal lines insurance, which, you know, are really where insurance agents probably Well, not just personal lines, commercial too.
Yeah,
I mean, there's
right.
just so many solutions that are coming to the market that are direct to consumer that the agencies are probably going to suffer a bit. I think there's going to be a thinning of the herd, and I think it's going to be the agents that basically can find a place within this digital world for their expertise that are going to survive.
Okay.
I don't think they'll go away completely. I think that there is absolutely a need for agents and their expertise. Insurance can be really complicated, especially around certain risks. And people still need someone to kind of guide them and hold their hand through some of these processes. So I don't think they'll go away completely. But certainly on simpler products.
Okay.
There won't be a need, in my perspective.
Yeah.
And even as, you know, you see some of these other InsurTech startups that are, you know, offering small commercial insurance online. You know, I know one of the, I was at a conference, a couple months ago listening to the founders of another InsurTech company that's doing small commercial insurance online.
Uh-huh.
And I tested it out just out of curiosity because I wanted to see how it works. And they have agents working for them who, you know, actually called me, which I thought was impressive.
Uh-huh.
So even, you know, again, the point of within an InsurTech, there's got to be a recognition that we still have to operate within the bounds of the industry. We can push it forward, but there's a need for expertise. I mean, one of the things that I love about my company is that they've actually brought insurance people on board.
Right.
People that really know the industry. And, you know, you had mentioned before, that's not the case at a lot of InsurTechs. At a lot of InsurTechs, it's entirely technology-focused. And
I think a lot of them have, they ran into their wall and they suffered because of that.
Exactly.
So we're seeing a lot more partnerships
and
a lot more it's either we're seeing more technology firms bring insurance people in or insurance people often with some technology expertise bring more technologists or programmers in. That's what I'm seeing more of.
I want
to see if I can summarize your perspective kind of on the independent side. So on one hand, a thinning of the herd, and I think you're probably right. We've seen it before. A lot of people don't know this, but historians of the industry will. There were probably around 80,000 independent insurance agencies in the 70s. And then and in the 80s, we saw a considerable thinning of the herd. And there were some historical reasons why, which are have some similarities to some of the trends and forces that we're experiencing right now. In the travel industry, we saw, obviously, significant digital disruption, yes? And it happened at, you know, at the dot-com boom. And so I did a little bit of research on that because I was very curious how that was going to affect my client base. What I discovered was that, the collapse was fairly significant, as I recall. There were, and it's been a while since I did this research, there were, let's say, around 40,000 independent travel agencies, and it collapsed down to about 14,000. However, in the thinning of the herd, what they discovered was that the survivors were selling three times as many air miles as the average independent travel agency prior to the dot-com boom. And so at least I'm optimistic that if there is some thinning of the herd, those who understand strategy, those who understand marketing, and those who are willing to appropriately embrace their embrace technology and find their way in a digital world will not only survive, they'll thrive.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, good.
Some conversations with agents out there, and I hear the same thing, and you know, they're actually interested in how our technology can help them.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, I mean, I totally agree, and I think that that's a fair summation.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think it's a turbulent time, and turbulent times tend not to be easy. And they do require more strategy and more navigation. So hopefully this podcast series helps them. That is my dream, and that is my goal. As my listeners, hopefully they know that. Darcy, if somebody was listening to this and wanted to learn more about CoverGenius or make contact? What's the appropriate way to do that?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to direct them to our website, which is covergenius.com. There's a lot of information on there, including some contact information for, some of us in the company that might be worth reaching out to.
Okay, very good. Well, Darcy, this has been a pleasure, and I appreciate your honesty. I always am fascinated by the precision of the strategy that CoverGenius uses. You and I have talked about that before. Hopefully there is a valuable lesson that our listeners got from that as well. So, Darcy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Michael. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.